Health experts are calling it a public health crisis. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 2.3 million cases of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia were diagnosed last year. That broke the 2016 record by about 200,000. Earlier this year, a State Department of Public Instruction survey found that sexually transmitted diseases are on the rise, despite fewer high schoolers saying they're sexually active. So why are STD rates going up, and what could turn those numbers around? Dr. Janina Smith is an infectious disease specialist at UW Health. Dr. Smith, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is such an important issue.
When you see these numbers from CDC, rates going up pretty quickly, what do you think? What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's shocking, and it's very important for everyone to be aware. I think those numbers don't even reflect the overall issue, which is that STD rates have been increasing since 2013 at alarming rates.
Is there something that's changed in American culture, society, medicine, I don't know what, that could account for these increases?
So we don't know for sure what's causing the increase, but there are a couple things that we think are contributing. Number one, it's wonderful news that HIV is now a very treatable condition, but there no longer is the same fear of acquiring HIV, and therefore a number of people have become more lax on safer sex practices. For example, condom use has dropped quite considerably. In addition, we think that the role of technology in setting up sexual encounters may be impacting the rates of sexually transmitted infections. Apps such as Tinder and Bumble sometimes allow people to have more frequent unprotected sexual encounters than they might have prior to the technology.
I want to spend a fair amount of time on prevention, but first I want to look at the treatment side of things. For these diseases, what kind of treatment is there? How bad do they get if they're untreated?
Well, that's a very important question, because most of the sexually transmitted infections that you're reading about, certainly the three you mentioned, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, those are bacterial infections. And over time, gonorrhea has gotten increasingly resistant. However, within Wisconsin at this time, those are all treated with short courses of routine antibiotics. But whenever someone's at risk for sexually transmitted infection, if you're at risk for one, you're actually at risk for all of them. And things like HIV and herpes produce chronic infection that would be lifelong.
And I think people might think of those bacterial ones that we're focusing on and think, oh, well, I don't want them, but they're easily treatable with antibiotics. Do you think that makes people not take them as seriously because they don't think through the antibiotic resistance issues?
Perhaps that's true. And more to your point previously, there's a variety of effects of not treating those infections that include worsening infections that ascend, go up into the body, infertility, which is a particular concern for ectopic pregnancy for women. And so those are things, reasons why these infections should be treated. Yes, they are treatable at this time with short courses of antibiotics, but they also increase the risk of acquiring HIV because they irritate the regions where HIV is often acquired.
Talking to Dr. Janina Smith from UW Health, looking at recent CDC numbers showing a continuing multi-year rise in a number of sexually transmitted diseases. Dr. Smith, reading up on this information from the CDC, it looks like very often these diseases are transmitted by someone who doesn't yet know they have it. So it's if it's not detected, they might spread it and pass on the disease before they're even aware that it's around.
That's absolutely true. Men are much more likely to have symptoms with gonorrhea and chlamydia, for example. Women may be entirely asymptomatic and it only be detected at their routine screening exams.
And part of the effort to prevent it, a lot of people talk about more testing. How important is that? How are we doing on testing people, especially sexually active people, for these diseases?
I think we can do better. The testing is extremely important because if a patient doesn't have symptoms and they don't know to present to the healthcare provider to be tested and to be treated. And so we need to have a higher index of suspicion in patients who have risk behavior and to go ahead and test and treat because that inhibits the spread as well of the infections.
Is there a stigma related to these diseases that might lead people to not seek out STD testing?
I think that's absolutely true.
Is that something that you think might affect testing numbers on a significant level?
I think it does. It definitely affects testing on a significant level. A lot of people feel like these infections are exceptional and that maybe they brought on themselves. They don't feel that way if they got a skin infection from a scrape or if they got pneumonia, and they're embarrassed. And they may also not feel comfortable talking to their healthcare providers about the behaviors that put them at risk.
Do we have enough funding for local health efforts at STD prevention, whether we're talking about testing, public outreach, anything like that?
At this time, we're doing very well in Dane County, but there have been recent declines in public health funding, for example, in Milwaukee, which has had a very terrible outbreak of syphilis for a number of years.
Right. Milwaukee reporting about 4,000 cases of gonorrhea last year, unfortunately leading the nation, a cluster, health officials say, of HIV, and you mentioned syphilis cases. Do you have any sense of why we'd see an outbreak like that in one particular community?
Syphilis has always, going back many, many years, had a particular frequency in the Milwaukee area. And obviously people tend to find sexual partners in a geographically close area. And so I think that that's probably why it's stuck there. There's also a number of patients who are not receiving treatment. And as I say, cuts in the public health budget certainly don't help the situation.
I want to talk about kind of public outreach and getting the message out, bringing back the messages about condom usage in particular without that real life or death issue, as you're talking about, with HIV being front and center. Is it possible to get that message out there about the importance of condoms?
I think it is. I think that we just need to make the effort. Condoms are the only birth control that are also prevention for sexually transmitted infection that's effective. And so I think a lot of times patients who may have very effective birth control, like an IUD, or be using oral contraceptives or be surgically sterilized, think that they don't need any protection of any kind with sexual activity, and they're still then at risk for sexually transmitted infection. And I would add that this is also true of older individuals who are no longer at risk from becoming pregnant, women over 50, for example. They're still at risk for acquiring HIV, and actually a number of the new HIV diagnoses are in that age group.
Are there other groups that you're particularly watching for to see what's happening with their numbers apart from that age group?
Well, as you mentioned, chlamydia is the most common sexually transmitted infection countrywide, and the vast majority of women are asymptomatic, but this can have a very profound impact on fertility in women or complications of pregnancy like ectopic pregnancy. So it is now currently recommended that all women who are sexually active between the ages of 15 and 45 get screened for chlamydia. But I think you're right. A lot of the time, this isn't being done. By the same token, those same patients are candidates for getting HIV screening yearly, because early detection and early treatment not only helps prevent the spread of those infections, but also prevents their complications.
I want to key in a little bit on the high school years. We mentioned that survey from the state's Department of Public Instruction. Fewer kids reporting that they had sex. This has been going down. That confirms a lot of national surveys. Kids are having sex apparently later. Also, fewer partners. But STD rates apparently are going up despite that. What do you make of that?
I think that it's hard to explain except for perhaps a decrease in condom use. I'm going to date myself for a moment, but when I was a teenager in high school, every class was about safer sex practices and the risk of HIV. And I think I've talked personally to high school groups who aren't really even aware what HIV is anymore. And so I think a lack of awareness has led to decreased safer sex practices in that group.
Now, can you talk about the means of transmission a little bit? These diseases, are they just transmitted by intercourse, or can things like oral sex transmit some of them as well?
Yeah, absolutely not. They're not transmitted only from contact between genitals, but through any surfaces that, like that line the mouth and that line the genital surfaces, as well as anal intercourse can transmit all of these infections. So any genital-to-genital contact, genital-to-mouth, genital-to-anus contact can spread these infections.
And is that something you think there's enough awareness of?
No. I absolutely think that a lot of people think that oral sex means safe sex, and that's definitely not true.
We're talking about record high rates of sexually transmitted diseases, three of them in particular, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. Our guest is Dr. Janina Smith, infectious disease specialist for UW Health. And you can weigh in at 800-642-1234. How concerned are you about the surge in STD diagnoses? Have you talked to your kids about the risk? Or if you're a younger person yourself, have parents or teachers, classrooms given you the information you think you need? What questions do you have about the spread of STDs and their treatments? What do you think needs to be done as individuals, as a public health effort by communities to turn these numbers around? And what are you seeing in your community? Anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We continue our discussion on growing rates of STD infections and what people can do to keep themselves safe and what communities can do to turn the numbers around. Dr. Janina Smith is an infectious disease specialist at UW Health, and you can join the question at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about STDs and why the numbers are going up? Are you seeing prevention efforts in your community, in your schools? Are you part of those efforts? What kind of things are you doing? Do you have the resources you need? If you're at a school, what kind of education, what kind of sex ed is going on there? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now, Jenny is with us in Neenah. Jenny, hi.
Hi. I'm just calling to make some kind of comments and then maybe a suggestion. I'm Generation X, and I know a lot of younger people. And their mentality, because there is so much information out there now, is, well, everybody has it, so why care? And that's what I've actually been told as a person. This isn't what I think they're thinking. And so because of that, they don't think it's a big deal. They don't get tested, because then if someone comes back to them and says, hey, I know that I got this STD from you because you're the only person I've been with, they can say, oh, well, I didn't know, so you can't be mad at me. Ignorance is bliss, right? So I know a long time ago with my generation, there was a big stigma on having STDs and things like that. Well, I think we've gone way too far the other way to where there's almost no stigma anymore. And so people just don't even think that it's important because everybody's got it. So what's the big deal? So I don't know how we turn that around. I don't feel that it should be stigmatized like it was when I was growing up, but I don't think it should be so unstigmatized that people don't think it's a big deal anymore to get it.
Jenny, thanks for the call. Jenny sees people, Dr. Smith, taking younger people, she says, taking STDs for granted.
Well, I think the important part to focus on in a person who says that it doesn't matter and that they wouldn't want to get tested and treated is that there can be long-term consequences for their own health or the health of their partners who they care about. And so I think the motivating factor there should be you don't want to have infertility down the line. You don't want to have chronic pelvic pain from pelvic inflammatory disease. And that would be a motivation to have them seek treatment.
Jenny, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Kim is with us now in Madison. Kim, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Kim?
Well, I wanted to ask a couple of questions. One of them is, I have a 15-year-old son, and he has some special needs, so I'm sure he's not interested much in speaking about sex ed in junior high or in high school, but I've not gotten any materials from the Madison or the Middleton Unified School District sent home to me talking about what they're learning about in sex ed. I certainly haven't heard anything about them having access to condoms. When I was growing up in Janesville, Wisconsin, you could go in and talk to your guidance counselor and you could get a hold of some free condoms. I really think that there must be some connection between the fact that there's just one Planned Parenthood in Madison and two in Milwaukee. When I was growing up, there were six other Planned Parenthoods throughout Wisconsin, including in Janesville, which I used. And so my concern is that, for one, condoms are very, very expensive, and it's very embarrassing as a teenager to go into a drugstore and buy them. And two, that, you know, is this being discussed on a regular basis, not like once a year for 2 weeks, or, you know, once every couple of years for 2 weeks or whatever. This should be like a, you know, week in, week out, month in, month out, ongoing conversations in our junior highs and high schools. And so I guess my concern is this lack of sex ed and access to condoms and access to Planned Parenthoods and other kinds of organizations fueling this situation. I think we want to steer away from blaming teens.
Kim, thanks for the call. Dr. Smith, what do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Education is one of the core principles of health. And without teenagers understanding how sexually transmitted infections are spread, the consequences of untreated sexually transmitted infection, and who to seek for help, it would undeniably be a confusing and difficult situation. There have been funding cuts, and from my perspective, sadly, education about the health of our bodies may be a controversial topic in terms of education of teenagers, but I think it does place them at risk, and I would agree with you from that perspective. I would offer an additional source for information, which is young people's primary care providers, both pediatricians, family medicine doctors, internal medicine doctors, obviously know a lot about this type of condition. And for Kim, I would encourage her to set up an appointment, perhaps where her son can talk privately with his own doctor, perhaps even without her present, and have his questions answered. And I think that would be one mechanism also to get one-on-one teaching. Because as a physician, we often think of the three T's. So talk to our patients, talk openly about how sexually transmitted infections are acquired, risk factors that they might have as individuals, questions that they have about their sexual health. For patients who are at risk, based on that discussion, we should test, and even testing patients who are asymptomatic. And then finally, those that have positive tests, we should immediately treat. And I think this is a role, it's wonderful the role that Planned Parenthood has played, but primary care physicians are educated about sexually transmitted infections as well and can definitely serve as a resource that's very effective for our young people.
Kim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about a rise in rates of sexually transmitted diseases, Dr. Janina Smith is with us from UW Health. Back to your calls now. Susan is with us in Racine. Susan, hello.
Hi. I want to thank you for this program. It's really important to get that word out there about teens and how sexually active they are. I'm a volunteer sexual educator for teens through my church. And I think it's so important for parents to take an active role in educating their children. If you want them to hear about it on a daily or weekly basis, the best place is at home. You know, I really think that if you start early with your kids, it's not a big deal. I have with my two sons, and, you know, we talk freely about it and about, you know, purchasing condoms. I don't think many teens from the two that I've caught have any embarrassment whatsoever about going into a pharmacy and purchasing one. I just think it's really important that, you know, kids know the dangers. They want to get checked out. I mean, that, you know, most of the kids in my class, you know what can happen if you have an STD, especially for females that goes undiagnosed until you're maybe 18 when they, you know, most parents think that's the time to see a gynecologist.
Susan, thanks for the call. Dr. Smith, Susan talking about not just parents having the talk with kids, but she says have an ongoing conversation with kids over the years, age appropriate from early on through the teen years.
I totally agree with that. I think that if you limit it to a single talk, as opposed to an idea that this is an ongoing dialogue, then as your teen's risk behaviors may change over the teen years or what their activities or interests or what their friends are doing, they'll be much more likely to be open with you, and you'll be able to provide them with information and protect them.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Melissa is with us in Platteville. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Thanks for taking this call. I'm a first-time caller and kind of nervous.
Go for it. You got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know I work at a family planning clinic in Platteville, and the caller who called in before about access to condoms, it's important for teens especially, but anybody to know that the family planning clinic network in Wisconsin is very helpful. We can sign people up for family planning only services, or FPOS, which is a benefit of Badger Care, which only takes into consideration the income of the person applying. So, for example, it's only the teen's income and not the family income, or it's only the woman's income and not her entire family income, or the man's as well. We do treat women and men. And there's a great website if people want to check out bedsider.org. that can has lots of information about birth control and STDs. Also,
We have to leave it there, Melissa. Dr. Smith, very briefly, are you hopeful that we can turn this around?
I'm very hopeful that we can turn around, but I think education is the key.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Smith, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Janina Smith is an infectious disease specialist at UW Health. We talked with her about record high rates, according to the CDC, of things like syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia in the United States.